This whole speaking in front of people and giving presentations thing is not something that I do a lot of, so you'll probably be able to tell. But like Chris said, my name is Josh Millard. I'm a Metafilter user Cortex on the site, and for the last 4.5 years or so, I've worked there as a community manager and moderator and just sort of enthusiastic data nerd. And I'll talk a little bit about a project called the InfoDump, but since we're all talking about Metafilter, I'm going to give a little bit of background on the site as well for those of you who are not already members. So Metafilter is a community website started by a guy named Matt Howey in 1999 as a place to share interesting links from the web and discuss them with other Metafilter users or Mephites or Mephites. Kim will get to that. It's a generalist site, so there's no given topical or ideological or demographic focus or mission statement to it. Joining the site since 2004 has cost a one-time fee of $5, which helps throttle the amount of new users we have at any given time. The user base is majority North American, mostly US, but it also has a significant international presence, and the common language on the site is English, although we do have multilingual users. The front page of the Metafilter functions as a sort of low-volume link aggregator. There's about 30 posts a day on a pretty wide range of topics made by individual users of the site. So they scope in terms of scope and tone, they range from funny cat videos to exhaustive encyclopedic posts about medieval sacred architecture. You know, everything from election posts to indie comic art. Each post features a comment thread, which was a definitive feature back in 1999 when that wasn't so much done. Now it's obviously much more common. But those threads are pretty much the core venue for participation on the site between members of the Metafilter community. That's where they're likely to spend most of their time if they find it to be an interesting place. Aside from the front page and its sort of link sharing ethos, we've built up other sub-sites over time as well. There's Music, which is a venue for users to post their own creative recording works. There's Jobs, which allows people to list their availability or put up job listings, whether freelance or something within their company that's hiring. IRL is a meetup organization place, so people can get together, go to bars or go to shows or whatever. And then Projects, which is a place where users can post their own creative work, since self-linking is otherwise pretty heavily discouraged at the site as sort of problematic in a spammy way. But most importantly, there's also Ask Metafilter and MetaTalk, and those two other big sub-sites, along with Metafilter, account for the bulk of the posts and the comments made on the site every day. The sub-sites are often referred to by color nickname, so the front page is the blue, because of its blue background color. Ask Metafilter is the green, and MetaTalk is the gray. Not really very important, but I'm going to call them that constantly, probably, so I just thought it'd be fair to warn you. So Metafilter I talked about already. Ask Metafilter, or the green, is a question and answer site that we started up in 2003 after it became clear that there was a lot of desire within the Metafilter community to be able to interact with each other in a question and answer capacity as a relatively trusted group of people who wanted to, be able to talk to each other specifically. So users can ask at most one question a week, but they can answer as many as they want. And there's on the order of 100 questions posted every day and about 2,000 or 1,500 answers posted every day. And then there's MetaTalk, which came along a lot earlier, actually. In the first year of the site, when it became clear that there was a need for a place to put meta commentary, it was created because people were posting to the front page with feature requests and bug reports, talking about site policy, complaining about other users, and having that be right in the middle of all the link sharing didn't make sense. So MetaTalk came along, and that became the staging ground for sort of the community looking at itself and talking about itself. So at this point, Metafilter has about 70,000 registered user accounts, about 10,000 active users, depending on how you look at it. We field about 3,000 comments a day from logged in users and get about 25 million page views on an average month. So we're big, we're not huge. You look at something like Reddit, orders of magnitude bigger, but a lot bigger than random little 12 guys who have a forum where they like to talk about Dragon Age or whatever. So that's Metafilter in a nutshell. The InfoDump, something I built a few years ago. It's a well-structured weekly updated collection of data basically distills the bulk of user activity on the site down to skeletal data activity records. So it contains information like the date stamp, posting user, the unique IDs of every post and comment that goes up on the site, as well as category information, where there's different categories of posts, and whether a given post was deleted by a moderator or closed down to new comments. It also contains raw data about the use of our favorites system, which is a multi-use and sometimes contentious bookmark slash thumbs up system that lets people favorite individual posts and comments. The info dump contains mostly numeric data. It aligns the actual text of comments and posts, partly just to keep the size of the files a lot more manageable and to keep the data structure simpler, and partly just to avoid effectively reproducing the entire database in slightly altered format. It does contain a little bit of text-related content. It's got the tags used on posts, basically folksonomic organizations that people can write free form to attach to any given post, as well as the title text of posts, the character count of every comment, and the actual user IDs and usernames of users, so that we can just use user IDs in the rest of the files to organize everything for cross-correlation. A parallel project I've been working on this last year is the Metafilter Corpus, which is at this point a collection of 1 gram frequency tables for the comment text from the site over the last 11 years. It's about 457 million words of source text, so it's a good chunk. And I'm hoping to expand it to larger n-gram files in the near future, but that hasn't been done yet. So the files that make up the info dump, in an effort to keep them relatively accessible, they're just simple tab-delimited text files. They're generated from some Perl scripts I wrote that just read from the database every Sunday night, do a little bit of cleanup and organization, and throw the data out into these zipped up text files. So they're really easy to grab, and they're always in a consistent format, and pretty simple to parse with whatever sort of data manipulation you might want to use. So you can pull it back into SQL, or you can mess with it with Python, or whatever works for you. It's straightforward, it's fire and forget. Our coder set it up to run as a service on the site, so I don't have to update it manually, which is a really good idea if you've ever had to have me update something for you manually. But why build this is sort of the key question. Before I came to work for Metafilter, I was fascinated for years as a user there by all the sort of questions of how it functions as a site and what the actual quantitative answers might be to questions, otherwise only really answerable by speculation when they came up on MetaTalk and people started talking about, well, what if, and how does this, and how often. And I'd pestered Matt Howey a number of times for behind-the-scenes data, and on some occasions I'd also done some scraping, but neither of those really felt like great solutions. It always felt kind of like an imposition, so I was hoping there would be a better way to deal with that. And other folks have been in the same boat. Academic Mephites and even people completely outside the community had done research everywhere from the trivial to the level of master's theses on Metafilter, and much of that work was complicated by the need to do that manual scraping or to try and beg some data off a moderator when they had time to put together a private data dump. So the info dump was a effort to solve that problem and let users engage, you know, sort of directly and autonomously with this data on the site without having to deal with all those complications. So my co-panelists will have some interesting stuff to talk about as far as the actual serious research stuff, but I'm going to give you a quick look at a couple of the more just curious community member things that our users have done over the years using this data. I mentioned that Ask Metafilter has a limit on the number of questions a user can ask. It's 1 a week per user period. Which helps keep the volume of the questions down, but it also makes questions feel a little bit precious sometimes. You know, you don't want to waste it. You want to make sure you get your value's worth of your 1 a week serious business. And so one of the recurring questions in MetaTalk is, when is the best time to ask a question? You know, people were thinking, you know, surely some days are better than others, some times are better than others. Do you want to get the morning rush, or do you want to get people when they're settling in the evening? And there was a lot of speculation, a lot of folk wisdom for years about this. It would come up, you know, probably once or twice a year. Once the info dump existed, someone sat down and really looked at the numbers. And it turns out, really doesn't matter at all. And everybody was surprised by this because, you know, there was this expectation that there had to be a trick. If you're looking to maximize answers to a given question, you can post literally any time of day, any day of the week, and you'll average, you know, expected value of about 14 answers, period. This despite the significant North American majority of the demographics, and despite the fact that it gets very quiet at night. And one partial explanation that another user found through some analysis was that there's a 24-hour heartbeat. The site, you know, really has an activity threshold that, you know, peels off after a day whenever a user's checking in, because people, they have a routine, you know, and if you check in more or less daily, it doesn't matter if you check in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to see what you missed since yesterday. So if someone else posted at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or at midnight, or at 6 in the morning, it's just what you missed before, so you get back to it, you answer a question, regardless of what that gap was. So you see that sort of day-long fall off, and you can sort of see a second day fall off as well. And beyond that, fewer people visiting during weekends or quiet hours might imply fewer answers. You see this big gulf, you know, during essentially the wee hours, North American time, versus busy during the workday. So you're thinking there's fewer answers, but there's also fewer questions. And so as a result, you have fewer people needed to sort of fulfill that volume of questions needing answering. It's fewer people asking, fewer people answering. It evens out, and you end up with that nice flat graph before, even though you see this big gap on, you know, Saturday, Sunday. Again, there's not nearly as many people around. So it was possible to actually answer this question, which was exciting because everybody was just flat out wrong and didn't believe it until people did it about 3 times. So how many active users do we have? If I wanted to break the number up, I'd just say, well, we do sequential user IDs, and we're just about to hit 140,000, so we've got 140,000 users. But that's totally bullshit. Part of it is that when you sign up for MetaFilter, there's a $5 charge. A lot of people bail, I think, when they get there, when they're like, I don't know if I want to do that. And so about half of our signups are aborted. So really, we've got about 70,000 active users. Except a lot of those people don't do anything on the site. You know, they sign up and they never take any action, or they sign up and they make a comment or two and then they wander away. So how many actual active users do we have? One of our users came up with a graph based on a premise. He said, let's say an active user is someone who's been active in the last 3 months, or in the last month, I'm sorry. And if it's been longer than that, they must have left. So you see red here is people who left, gray is people who have been here and are staying around, green are brand new. So if you look at everything up to the last few months, it's a pretty constant slow growth. This is distracting because you don't have people who make a comment every couple months being represented. They're treated as they left instead of they're just on vacation or whatever. But it's a pretty good approximation, and it turns out to be pretty close to the actual internal logs we have that show we have about 12,000 people who actually just come by the site every month. A lot of those, probably 4,000, don't touch anything, they just sort of look. So they don't show up in the info dump logs because we don't release like IP traffic or anything. But still, he was able to independently come up with this thing. I'm probably going to run long if I go through all this, but there's also people have looked at favoriting and contact data. People can mutually contact each other on the site to create sort of we've met or this is my spouse or whatever relationships. So we've had folks do things like create network graphs looking at what the clusters of co-contacts and co-favorites are. We had someone establish that if you look at favoriting and contact data, people who are contacts are also about 13 times more likely to favorite each other's stuff than people who aren't. So obviously there's some sort of correlation there, whether causal or not. We've had users create tools to make this data more accessible to other users. So the info dumpster was created by a guy named Combustible Lighthouse Edison. That may not be his real name. to let you sort of play with some of this data without having to know anything about data mining. You can ask some of the basic questions. So it's really making it even more accessible to the community than just putting the data out there. And there's a ton of this other stuff. I can't even talk about all of it, but there's a lot of data on the MetaFilter wiki if you want to go looking for more stuff. So there's a few challenges involved in this. The building is not too hard. I'm not good at SQL, and I managed to put this together. If you want to put something together like this for a site, and you don't have someone who can do it, it'd be a pretty small contracting job. The bigger challenge is privacy, because you need to make sure that you're not publicizing private data. Everything in the info dump is already out there. You could scrape it if you wanted to. We just make it more available. You also want to make sure your users are involved in this. You don't want to just be like, hey, surprise, all your data's out there in a way that's going to surprise them. So have communication. We talked about this a lot on Metafilter when we're doing it. So in summary, you know, there's a lot going for an infodump type thing. It gives users a sense of transparency and administration. This is their activity. Why not let them play with it? It gives them autonomy. So if they really want to answer a question, they don't have to come bugging someone and feel like they're imposing. They can say, oh, I'm going to play with this data and figure it out myself, which lets them have a real sense of involvement with the sort of context and the history of the site that they're a member of, you know, which is important when you're talking about a community and not just a service. You know, these are people who spend time there. They value their time. It also reduces impact on your server resources from scraping, because you don't have to deal with some clown coming by and scraping 10 pages a second from, you know, the Ukraine. You can just go grab the data, and you can host it somewhere other than where your main web server is, so you don't get hosed by all that traffic. So logistically, it kind of makes sense, too. And finally, it's just cleaner, more reliable data. You know it's always going to be in a predictable format. You know it's going to be updated regularly. You know this stuff is available, so as a researcher, you can go at this and rely on it as a good source, rather than having to do the horrible mess of scraping and trying to pull out the data you want from a web page that's trying to deal with a cross-platform, cross-browser experience and putting a whole lot of cruft in there. So it's just it's a much more likable way to be. So basically, what I hope is that this will become more prevalent, because it really doesn't seem to be something that's out there very much, you know. And I think if researchers interested in web communities can talk to the folks who actually run these sites and make it clear how this could work, that'll be a big improvement and actually make for a very, very nice uptick in the accessibility of this wealth of data and the sort of, I don't want to say synergistic, because that's such a horrible word, but it'd be nice if the websites and the researchers could play nice and make nice things. And so that's kind of the whole idea with this stuff. So thank you very much.